which is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And we pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you will speak directly into our hearts and minds today. Amen. What are you building? What are we building? The temple admired in today's gospel reading was the project of Herod the Great, who in 20 BC began a reconstruction of the temple that essentially doubled its size and otherwise reflected his own aggrandizing character. It must have been absolutely overwhelming in its sheer size and magnificence. Remember that its facade was covered in gold and the lower reaches were all gleaming white marble. When you think of the strength of the sun in that region, it was highly visible and really shone. The stones used in construction were large, especially those used in the lower courses and the corners. Josephus, a Roman historian, says that some of the stones were about 20 metres long and 3 metres high. 20 metres long and 3 metres high. I think that would be a feat of engineering in these days. And we have so much more equipment. The largest stone that we found to date is 12 metres by 3 metres by 4 metres. And that's pretty big as well. I can't even conceive of that, to be honest. It weighs around 400 tonnes. You know, you weren't exactly picking up bricks and laying them one on top of the other. It really was a feat of engineering, and you had to get it up there as well. The temple took 46 years to build, with most of the construction being done fairly early on and then adornments added later. There was no earthly reason to consider that it would be torn down, and when you think of the size of the stones, it's inconceivable that it could readily be torn down. Yet, as we heard, Jesus said that the time will come when not one stone will be left on another, every one of them will be thrown down. And that happened in 70 AD. What are we building and why? Something which will bring us prestige, something that adds to our personal importance, something which we believe will be a lasting monument. It's really interesting when you ask children what they wanted to be. My generation seemed to want to be firemen or nurses, teachers, doctors, bus drivers. I was never too sure about the bus drivers. It seemed to be all the chaps, and I'm not quite sure. It never appealed to me, but perhaps somebody can explain that to me later. But if you ask children what they want to be now, you quite often hear the response, famous, rich, on the telly. How much attitudes have changed from wanting to serve others to wanting to be adored. Hearing conversations between two adults meeting one another for the first time, it might seem that adults assess one another on their wealth and possessions, their position and status. But at the end of life, what is left? I wonder if all those politicians and wealthy people who had statues erected in their honour ever considered that those statues may shortly be torn down. What are we building and why? Do you remember that advert a few years ago? The future's bright, the future's orange. I actually used that in a clip the other day. I'm getting a dog, so I've said the future's not orange, it's very pale yellow. More about that later. But judging from today's reading and from the news, the future doesn't seem that bright. We consider how many nations around the world are suffering or being eradicated. Low-lying islands are literally being submerged, and the displaced people are gathering on smaller and smaller islands. Nations will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. That resonates as well, doesn't it? There will be great earthquakes, famines and pestilences in various places. I'm not sure on this. Whether it's just because I'm getting older and I'm noticing more, or whether it's because we now hear about everything very quickly and news coverage really is worldwide, isn't it? Are there more disasters now than there were? It seems to me as though there are. Do you think I'm right in that? I don't think there have been fearful events and great signs from heaven, although apparently there was a massive fireball came down somewhere and it was caught on somebody's camera. Will they come soon? And if so, how will we respond to them? In fear and trembling like everyone else? Or will we consider them signs of the end times and start sharing the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ more fervently, knowing that time is running out? I'm not sure if we're living in the end times, we're told in Luke, or not. But if we are, don't we need to be prepared and to know what the signs of those times are? In verse 12 we read, "But before all this they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name." If you keep an eye on what is happening around the world, Open Doors gives very good information. You'll know just how many Christians have been displaced, their homes and businesses destroyed, their family members incarcerated. Christians around the world are being tortured and killed now, but it does not feature very much on the news. Do we pray for them regularly? Do we pray for the persecuted church? But also, do we pray for those who persecute them? And do we learn our scriptures and spend time in prayer with God so that we know him and his word better? We need to, because as verse 13 continues, this will result in your being witnesses to them. Witnesses partly through knowing scripture and being able to tell others, but also witnesses in how we respond to everything going on around us or to us. Not in fear and trembling, but with love and a confidence in our Heavenly Father. Remember that the best witnesses are those who are best informed or closest to something or someone. Are we spending our time reading our scriptures and listening to God so that if, God forbid, we should ever be persecuted, we could be witnesses and good witnesses at that? Could we stand firm on the gospel if our lives were threatened, if we didn't recant our faith? We need to have a strong relationship with God to be able to do that. What are we building? Something for our own aggrandizement like Herod, or a relationship with God so that he can build his kingdom? All we need to do to build our relationship with our Heavenly Father is to spend time getting to know him and his ways. We're told not to worry about how we are to defend ourselves, because he will give us words and wisdom. I'm really glad about that, because sometimes I do lose words, and sometimes I'm not the wisest person in the world. But God's strength is made manifest in our weakness when we ask for the Holy Spirit to help us. And how will we know that they are his words, his wisdom? Well, partly because, as it says here, our adversaries will not be able to resist or contradict. But mostly, I think, because, as you know, if you spend a lot of time with one person, you learn their turn of phrase. You learn the words that they will use. You know exactly what they're going to say almost before they say it. And that's why we're often able to finish sentences that a loved one has started. So we are not to worry beforehand about how to defend ourselves, nor are we to worry about ourselves, our lives. For even though some of us might die, not a hair of our head will perish. By standing firm, we will gain eternal life. I've been saying we. It may be that we are close to the end times and that God is addressing us through this reading. Maybe that he's addressing those not yet born, but either way, this passage still has relevance to us because of what we desire to build. What are we building and why? When I was in Washington, D.C., I think it was about 11 years ago, I went on a conducted tour of the Library of Congress. Has anybody else been there? Just a couple. It's an incredible building. When you go in there, I've seen a lot of great buildings, but that really is something. At the time that they came to build it, because they relocated the capital to Washington, to D.C., America was an impoverished nation because they'd been fighting us. But they wanted to build something that was truly amazing. So they said to all the skilled craftsmen, we can't afford to pay you at all. We just don't have the funds there. We will give you bed and board. So you will have somewhere to sleep and shelter and you will have food. But that's all that we can offer you. And many of those men worked for years for nothing but bed and board. That meant that they couldn't marry, or that if they were married, they basically had to leave their wife and children to fend for themselves. That takes dedication. But they did it partly because they knew that they were building something that would be truly magnificent. And because they believed in the cause of their fledgling nation and they wanted to be a part of that. And they were told that the buildings that they were putting up would be greater than those found in Europe, would be truly magnificent. And so they gave years of their lives for nothing except what would sustain them. What are we building? And why? I do hope that we recognise the importance of spending our lives building the kingdom so that more and more people will come into the kingdom and not perish. I pray that as individuals and as a church, we will not put our own desire for importance, prestige, aggrandisement, financial security above our desire to do God's will. Help build his kingdom. I pray that we will help others to know the freedom and the fullness of life that Christ alone can bring. I pray that no matter what we go through, we will keep our eyes firmly fixed on the author and protector of our faith. That we will forgive those who abuse and hurt us. And that we will continue in unity, building one another up and encouraging one another. That is so important. If we ever start criticizing one another, either within church or to people outside, we are effectively helping to destroy our church. It is really important that we build one another up and encourage one another in the faith. That we will want only to be that light shining in an increasingly dark world, a beacon on the hill where people know that they can encounter God through us, reflecting God's light. What are you building?